Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Good day. Welcome to our Talk Radio Countdown, the official overview of what's going on in the world of News Talk Radio. Thanks to the story list compiled by the folks at Talkers Magazine, the Bible of the talk radio industry. Talkers.com is the website. You can see the list, the charts there. You can also see them listed at djvshow.com. Michael Harrison, the editor and publisher, is here to go through the stories, as he traditionally does on the program, and the people list as well. And we'll take some extrapolated stories and conversations about some of these things. And as we do, we magnify sometimes the focus on these things, because we're about talk radio. So we'll talk about the issues, we'll talk about the hosts, that sort of thing. So I guess we'll start with our normal listing of these things, Michael, huh?
Yes, we are the extrapolators. So the extrapolation shall begin.
It sounds like a movie, doesn't it? The Expendables replaced by the extrapolators.
The extrapolators. Yeah, that's a great word, extrapolate.
It is.
But it's been a crazy week. It sounds cliched, a crazy week, but this has been a crazy week among
The song that came out, Bomb, 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 Iraq, Bomb, Bomb. Remember that song in 2003?
Yes.
Well, now we're going to change
vaguely.
That.
Occasionally we play it at our dances, but
yes,
not often.
So now it's Bomb, 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 Afghanistan. No, it doesn't quite work that way.
No, I don't think so. And we had many opportunities to bomb Afghanistan. Let's go back in there and teach these people a lesson.
Again. Yeah,
right. I love the way we're going to get you for that as we leave.
Yeah, right.
I mean, talk about vicious cycle.
How do these people get into these positions of power? The naivete, is it just too much to do? Give Biden a pass or all of them a pass, because I've said many times over the years we ought to have two presidents, a president that's a domestic handler of issues, and the international president, or one who's a PR person and somebody else who's an administrator. Yeah, but one person. Yeah,
I don't know if that would work. I think you're on the right track. I think what we need is a president who is a synthesizer of various levels of expertise, surrounds him or herself with really good people, have the best generals possible, have the best cabinet members as possible, have experts, and then knows how to take advice and put it all together in a way that reflects the interests of the average citizen. I think that's what what's necessary.
Well, that sounds just like Gavin Newsom. Not. Right?
Gavin Newsom. Yeah. And talk about a system that is just somebody pulled that out of their you-know-what.
Yep.
The system in California for picking a new governor is absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insane. But let's get on with the stories. At number 10, we have names. We have Charlie Watts. He died. And our dear friend Phil Valentine of talk radio fame, he died as well. And we have celebrities in the news, different people of fame having defaming activity. At number 9, we have U.S.-China-Russia relations tied with the Havana syndrome and Harris's trip postponed temporarily and getting into Vietnam because of the Havana syndrome at the U.S. Embassy. What a story that is. The New York gubernatorial transition took place. That's number 8. Number 7, we have the wildfires, climate change, floods, and pretty bad air as a result of that. I mean, on the East Coast, we have particles in the air from the West Coast.
Yeah, so it's lovely, huh?
So it just shows you how small the Earth is and how delicate our atmosphere is. At number 6, immigration reform and race relations tied at number 6. At number 5, we have a bunch of ties, all economic, the economy, the infrastructure bill, supply chain issues, which is something I know you know about, and inflation fears. At number 4, we have the aforementioned California recall, crime and homelessness. Crime and homelessness are big topics in the California recall, but they also affect cities across America. And number 3, the January 6th investigation grinds on, and that's tied with Trump election fraud claims. We can talk about that. And number 2, COVID-19. And if it wasn't for Afghanistan, COVID-19 would be number 1. the Delta variant, masks and mandates and madness. And at number one, the Afghanistan withdrawal chaos. That's the way we framed the title of that story. It's a big one. On the People Survey, we have porn star Ron Jeremy and singing star R. Kelly. Both are either indicted or in court. At number nine,
not
two
for
good
the same
guys.
Thing.
Yeah. Charlie Watts and Phil Valentine at number nine. Kathy Hochul at number eight. She's the new governor of New York, first woman governor. And she was inaugurated in the suffragette white outfit that a lot of today's female politicians wear at official events to show their solidarity and support of the suffragettes who fought for women's rights to vote, a women's right to vote back in the early 1900s.
I'm expecting to see some signs pretty much put up, women's lives matter. That's the next sign to go up. Yeah.
Kamala Harris at number seven. Number six, Gavin Newsom and Larry Elder tied at number six.
Isn't that something?
Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood, a couple of characters, at number five. Nancy Pelosi and Benny Thompson at number four.
Another couple of characters.
Anthony Blinken at number three. And Donald
Almost
Trump at
sounds
two.
Like, if you said it fast, it sounded like Abe Lincoln.
Blinken. It sounds like a dirty word. Blinken.
No, blinken, winken, and nod, aren't they?
Yeah, I was going to say that too, but I didn't want to date myself.
Oh, you leave it to me. Thanks.
I was playing a little game in my head, saying, I wonder
will
if Doug
he
is going to go for
or
the...
Or won't he? Yes. Okay. I fell
I'm serious.
You trapped me.
And as I said, Trump is at two and Biden's at one. And there are your two presidents.
Right. Just where they need to be. So if Larry Elder gets to be governor of California, could he run for president? Could he be our next president, Larry Elder?
Absolutely. Anybody could. Why don't you run?
What? I've actually thought about running for office on a number of occasions. Somebody, when I was doing mornings in Palm Beach, somebody tried, there was a congressman who died, and somebody tried to get me to run for Congress. At the time, I wasn't even a legal resident of Palm Beach. Well, actually, I think I was for a couple of years. Yeah, I could have run. Didn't think it was my calling. I'd rather do this than anything else. Could you do this if I were a congressperson? Could I do the radio program and be a congressperson at the same time?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it works. I mean, Larry Elder had to stop doing his talk show.
I'm not talking about when I was running, but actually when I'm in office. Could Larry go back to doing his, if he's governor, Larry could go back
in
to
a
doing
way,
his talk program, I think.
I mean, there are governors and mayors who do have regular slots on local talk stations to do report from the governor. I'm forgetting the name of the city. It's a city in Georgia. And I will tell you in a second as I look. Oh, Valdosta, Georgia. Right. Valdosta, Georgia is a small city of 60,000 people in Georgia near the Florida border. And a fellow by the name of Scott James Matheson has been an 18-year veteran of the local talk station. And he was inaugurated mayor a year and a half ago. And he's the mayor and he's a talk show host in that community.
And would you believe this program is on that station?
That's great. And WDDQ, Talk 92.1. Hello to our friends in Valdosta.
Valdosta's right on the Florida border. I remember visiting there once, visiting the station, and it was very, it felt more, it didn't feel like Georgia, it didn't feel like Florida. It's a great agricultural area. It felt more like something in the lower Midwest, you know, in terms of how the rolling hills and great farms and stuff down there. So, yes, as was suggested by Michael, hello, Valdosta. We'll get to Charlie Watts in a matter of moments here as we continue on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Doug Steffen with Michael Harrison. All right, 18 after the hour, Talk Radio Countdown Show. Michael Harrison, Doug Steffen, Charlie Watts. One of the great names I know that when we think about him, we think about the Stones. Think about the concerts, think about the albums, think about him being, sorry about my voice, my allergies are once again getting the best of me. Anyway, so what do you remember about Charlie Watts as he played into, wasn't he the most stable member of the Stones?
I don't know what stable means. I mean, you have to say that Mick Jagger and Keith Richards have a degree of stability, in as much as they're still performing in their late 70s.
Yeah, but the way they lived their lives earlier on, I think that's what I
mean. Well, I mean, maybe Charlie was a little bit wild back in the swinging 60s and 70s, too. But Charlie was a well-dressed man. He his main love was jazz drumming. He sort of did the Stones thing as a hobby.
Didn't he have a group, a trio or something that he traveled?
He played in different groups and different things. But, you know, hey, he's a Rolling Stone, you know, one of the almost original members of the Rolling Stones.
Right.
All the way back to the beginning. That you know, you can't climb out from under that.
And
he was, from a musical standpoint, as we look back at the rock era with more objectivity, we realize that people like Charlie Watts and Ringo Starr, although overlooked in terms of the limelight, were incredibly great drummers.
Yeah, right. Well, would you say Mick Fleetwood is as well?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, yeah, Mick Fleetwood. To be the drummer of a major, major iconic rock band, you got to have your act together.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right about that. Got to know how to keep it together, too. All right, we talk about Phil Valentine up next here, 21 after the hour.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
23 after the hour. For those of you who are interested in time and temperature, there it is. I don't know what the temperature is. It probably isn't important, because when you're listening to this, the temperature could be almost anything. One of the things, number 7 this week, we've had a continuing focus on the climate and the wildfires. Have you two, you do a lot of, interviewing of people. Have you talked to anybody who has been on the radio in the area where there are wildfires? I was thinking out in Santa Cruz and some of those areas. But
yeah, they obviously see it as a great opportunity to serve the community. And you mentioned Santa Cruz, our good friends over at KSCO Radio.
Yeah.
And Michael's World.
Carry this program, too.
They carry this program, and it's one of my favorite stations. I do a lot of shows there for the fun of it. When I have new ideas, I do shows there, and I'm often a guest. And I just had a long friendship with the radio station. It's a wonderful station. And they are very active in responding to disasters, which they have plenty of in Central Coast California, and do a good job of it.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of talk radio, talk hosts, I have some audio here of an interview you did with Phil Valentine, which actually shows up on talkers.com. And it's the MH interview this week. And I thought we'd listen to a little of it, talk about Phil and what has happened as a result of the focus on him, because it was, as you've suggested here in the list, national news. It was a national attention because Phil was so unabashedly anti-vaccine. And then he said he wished he had had the shots, obviously. And he passed away this week, been on a ventilator for what about 2-3 weeks, I think, before he passed away. But he was a rugged. Wouldn't you say he was a rugged, strong guy physically?
Well, he seemed to be a healthy 61. One of the interesting things about that interview, I don't know what part you're playing, but toward the end of the interview, he and I talk about, you know, one of my catchphrases, that's one of my themes, and that is seeking victory at the expense of truth. Mm-hmm. He talked about how important it is, no matter how vehement you are about an issue, that if you suddenly realize you're wrong, say you're wrong and change your position. Don't beat it to death out of fear of being wrong. And that's how he wound up ending his life.
It is,
he lived
right.
it. He, you know, so. But,
all right. Here's some of Michael from the MH interview that he did with Phil Valentine.
Relatability. And to me, that's always been the key. And no matter what radio you're doing, whether it's music radio or talk radio or whatever, is to be able to relate to your audience, connect with them. They feel like, you know, they call me Uncle Phil on the radio. It's hilarious. I don't even know where this started. But, you know, we just go with it. Oh, Uncle Phil did so. But people feel like I'm their, you know, their uncle that they can sit around and talk to. So you connect with folks. So I wanted to lay that out for other talk show hosts to realize that whether you love him or hate him, you can learn from President Trump.
Hmm. Love him. That's an interesting. That is very. That's it. When did you do that interview? Was that last?
Did it in May? In May of 2017, Trump was president for about 5 months, 4 months, mm-hmm. whatever.
Did he always work in that market? I only knew him because he'd been in Nashville for a long time. That's how I.
Ironically, he was born in Nashville, North Carolina, the son of a six-term Democratic congressman, and he worked in different parts of the country, including Philadelphia. But most of his career, most of it was in Nashville.
Right, and is that because he fit there better? Do you think his style was better?
Just happenstance. He happened to, he got traction there and wound up developing and investing in a relationship with the people.
When you think about it, sometimes people get traction, even if they're not local from the community. They fit in. Although, wouldn't you say usually the people who get traction are the locals when it comes to talk radio?
That's an interesting question that, there's different answers. And let's talk about it after the break. It's an interesting insight.
All right. Well, thank heavens we have a few of those from time to time. Interesting insights on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Michael Harrison, Doug Steffen, 28 past the hour. Back to our countdown. With the invoice, where'd that come from? The list from Talkers Magazine. I'm not talking about what I was just doing. I think I got distracted here. Yeah. Okay, the list, the charts for the week of August 23rd to the 27th. You know what's really amazing? That we are in, it seemed like it was minutes ago we were in April, and now we're in August, and it'll be September. People going back to school. Work cranked up full steam ahead for a few months until they use Christmas and the holidays as an excuse for not getting anything done. But it really is pretty amazing as to where we are and how time does fly. That's a great conversation in and of itself.
It's a great conversation. But 2020 and 21 are sort of like 1 year.
Yeah.
The new era of, the 20s.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Big blip. Okay, we were talking about Phil Valentine and then some insight into the essence of what, who makes it and why they make it in whatever market they may be in. I'm still thinking back. The longest I was on a local station was 13 years in my own hometown. And maybe it was because I knew everything that was going on in town. People listened to me to find out what was going on in town or what was my latest escapade. How did I get into trouble? Because the local editor of the local newspaper didn't like me and I didn't like him. And it was back and forth and back and forth all the time about the issues, his point of view on them, my point of view on them. And I suppose that's what makes for, he was great promo for me because it was always at least once a week, he'd have some article in there about what I said and how stupid I was for having or how wrong I was. So people read the newspaper. Well, what's Stefan talking about? Okay, I guess I'll go listen to him on the radio. And isn't that, in a sense, the highest form of flattery is to have people talking about you? I suppose it is anyway.
Well, in radio, getting somebody to listen is not the same as getting somebody to vote for you. To get elected, you have to be liked by everybody or be the least of all the evils.
Or have a name that's recognizable.
You can develop a very, very, very strong career being hated. And there are people that love to hate somebody.
Joe Pine. Wasn't that a good... You may have been one of the first ones to be
Pine,
like that.
Joe Pine, definitely.
Yeah.
When I was on the radio for 11 years in Los Angeles, I had a feud going with a local Joe Pine... Light, a guy that was similar to Joe Pine. His name was Wally George.
Oh, my God. Wally George. Yeah, he's fabulous.
Wally George used to do a show on a local TV station in Orange County.
Crazy.
Where it was crazy right-wing, right-wing with people. It looked like a MAGA rally on steroids.
And he was Rebecca De Mornay's father. Uh-huh. Remember that?
Yeah. And this was when it was really unusual to see such a thing. And I was the program director of the big hippie rock radio station, and playing sinful Satan music. and he would come on my show, and I would go on his show, and we would fight it out and scream at each other, and then have dinner together, and we were the best of friends.
Right.
It was a hell of a shtick.
I can remember seeing the guy, tall, thin guy. Yeah, yeah. Wally George. Good God.
What memories. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he's alive anymore.
I think he went to CRN for a while. That's where all talk show hosts go to die.
Oh, my gosh.
I say that lovingly, and my friends know that. But yeah, he was there for a while. I'm pretty sure. But he was really very entertaining. And I don't even, do you think he knew he was entertaining? Really and truly? Do guys like that, they're just themselves, kind of. Did he know who he was and what he was doing, really?
Well, he and I walked the line between being enemies and colluding in that enemy ship for our mutual benefit.
Right.
We never fully ever admitted it. Mm-hmm. It was just unspoken. But we generated so much interest that we had a full page on us in the L.A. Times.
Really?
Well, I staged. You got to remember, it was a different time. Radio was entertainment in those days.
Yeah.
So you could create reality show kind of drama. I staged on the air an actual physical fight between us where we were throwing each other through the plate glass windows.
Did you really?
I had crashing glass.
You know
and the
story.
Paper picked up on it that it was real, and I was saying to everybody, "No, it was a show."
Silly. Yeah, but that's how you get the Cincinnati Inquirer. Never quite. They were aligned with WLW. There were two talk stations in Cincinnati. When I was there, I was on one. LW was the other one, and so we used to have. I had relations with a lot of the people in town because I wanted to get people to come, and I had Jerry Springer on with me every Friday afternoon. He had been the mayor of Cincinnati, and then he became the news anchor. He and Nick Clooney were battling it out for ratings at 6 and 11 on the local stations in Cincinnati.
Nick Clooney, is that George Clooney's father?
Yeah, wow. He was the nighttime anchor for 34 years or something on that station in Cincinnati. That was when anchors stayed forever. Wow. And everybody knew who they were, and he got paid a lot of money for being in Cincinnati. He didn't ever want to go
Rosemary
anywhere.
He was Clooney's brother.
Yeah, that's where Nick. I mean, George Clooney grew up in Cincinnati.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
cool.
Anyway, so I had one day, Jerry Springer, the producer, had talked to him about something. I don't know. He wanted to come plug his nightly news, so. We started with one Friday afternoon, and it became a thing. Every Friday afternoon, he'd come over to the station, and he'd spend an hour talking about what was going on in Cincinnati. And there was a beer hall that was opening up in Cincinnati at the time. This was the late 80s. And they asked us to be the show for the opening night. And we were to do a karaoke tune. And he chose Ebony and Ivory. I didn't. I didn't. Well, I don't know. Maybe the guy at the... You could take it from there. Could we get away with that today? No.
No, you can't get away today with any of the stuff that we used to do or that people did, not just we. The only ones who get away with that type of behavior nowadays is not radio personalities, but politicians. Yep. We now have shock politicians and radio personalities who are very staid.
Green.
And have to stay within.
What's her name? Marilyn Green. What's your
name? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you screwed with my head when you couldn't remember her name. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
You can make a person forget something by forgetting it and then saying, I can't remember it. Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene is an example of a shock congresswoman.
Yeah, right.
This all started with Donald Trump. Donald Trump became president utilizing the tactics that radio personalities used back in the 80s and 90s.
Right, exactly. Well, he started when he was on The Apprentice. He pulled all that stuff. He was a TV guy. That's all he was. He wanted to be a television host.
He was a performer at the WWE.
Right.
He's in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. He shaved Vince McMahon's head at the end.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
they're rolling
around
the floor.
The president, that's my Trump. All right, let's talk about Larry Elder for a minute. Number six on the people list is Larry, and his running for governor. He actually, you and I were talking about this, I think, off the air. Maybe we've talked about it on the air, too. How fakakta, I think, is the word you use. I think we can say that on the radio. The yes. election system is in California where you can get rid of a guy like Newsom. And remember the guy before? What was the guy's name
Gray Arnold, Davis.
Davis, that's right, too.
I knew Gray Davis personally.
And?
I knew him back when Jerry Brown was governor, and I was on the air at KMET, and I'd have Gray Davis, who was Jerry Brown's young assistant.
Yeah.
And he would come on the air all the time with me, and we'd hang out, and he was like a cool guy. And then I met him briefly when he was governor, hadn't seen him in years, and he was like, oh, yes, I remember you, Mike.
He
became this stiff.
Funny. Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember when Jerry Brown was doing a talk radio program, he used to come to our events.
Oh,
he came three,
he used
four,
to call me at
2
in the morning asking for advice about why we can't reinstall the fairness doctrine.
Oh, yeah, me too.
He did that
with you, too? Oh, yeah.
And he'd keep me on the phone until I said what he wanted me to say.
Yeah,
he'd ask
right.
advice, and if you gave him advice and he didn't agree with it, he'd argue with you.
Yeah.
He'd argue with you and beat you. Finally, I go, you're right, okay, go to sleep. Yeah. It's 3 a.m., you nut.
Ralph Nader was like that. You interviewed Ralph Nader
Ralph
recently,
Nader and I do it every 3 years for the last 250 years we do an interview.
Yeah.
And we wrestle with each other to the ground.
Yeah. All right. Larry Elder is running for governor, well-known talk radio
governor.
Host. He's becoming, he had a nationally syndicated program, but don't you think his profile is broadened tremendously since he got into this thing with Newsom?
It's broadened tremendously since he's the number one poll-getting candidate to replace Newsom. Yeah.
So could he keep, I asked the ladies earlier on the DJV show, could he stay on the air? If he's governor, could he still do a daily show as governor after he
probably.
Got elected? Yeah.
Probably.
Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. He's very, I like Larry a lot. I always like Larry. He's got some interesting viewpoints, and he's happy to be different than everybody else, which is kind of cool. I don't even know. Did you interviewed him, right, for the MH interview? Did you?
Three times.
Okay. But not in the not while he's running for governor.
Not while he's running, but I've been excerpting conversations with him for my other broadcasts.
Uh-huh.
Because it lays out where he stands on everything, unencumbered by any political...
But was it expected, could you see in the tea leaves that he would run for governor?
No.
In this circumstance?
Never thought it would happen. And when he did, I thought it was a mistake. I thought, ugh, he's going to be taken off the air now and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
But he's doing far better than anybody expected.
Yeah, he's smart. He's a smart cookie. All right, we'll talk a little more about him. Michael Harris and Doug Steffen, 45 after, on the official Talk Radio Countdown Show. All right, so Michael, the essence of the MH interview, it was Phil Valentine. So when can we expect Larry Elder to be on the MH interview? You're going to put some stuff together? Is that
I think we've had enough of Larry Elder on it. With the race relations. I had one MH interview where I had him and Joe Madison together. I've been extracting him for other shows that I do.
MHinterview.com. I wonder if that would be interesting to see if Madison would run for office. That would be interesting.
He certainly is more likely.
Yeah. All right. Talk Radio Countdown Show, 10 before the hour.